Good evening.
Good evening.
Just one announcement. We are planning to show a film after the meeting tonight. So 15 minutes after we've finished here, there'll be tea and coffee served. Those who want to stay to watch it are welcome to. Nobody has to stay. Indeed, you don't even need to stay until the end. The film is about William Tyndale, who was the man who helped to translate the Bible into English. We're going to have three Bible readings tonight. And in part, it's due to his brave ministry. So if you'd like to find out more, and you have the time, we'll be showing a version of his life around 15 minutes after we finished here. Let's turn together in the White Hymn Book and sing 366, Jesus is King, and I will extol him.
First reading is from 2 John, the entirety of it. I'll wait a second for people finding the passage. Verse 1. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of our sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that portion of your word which we have heard. We pray that we might apply its meaning. Lord, there are many who deny you, who deny that you have come in the flesh, who deny that you are from God, who deny your right and proper deity. Lord, we pray that in these days of confusion, apostasy, and falling away, that you'll help us to stand firm and be faithful to that which we have received, to that which we heard at the beginning, to the faith delivered once and for all. Lord, as we shortly come to look at your word, we ask that you will help us to understand it, to understand the times in which we live, and the hope that we have. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing together 362.
Joy of what thou art, thou
Tonight we pray that we might know you more. In your name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Amen. I remember explaining to the headmaster at school a few years ago, who told me that it's wrong to use sarcasm with children. I assured him that I was using irony. So if you're a little offended that Paul is being a little sarcastic, call it irony. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Oh, that you would put up with my foolishness. Again, there are false teachers creeping into the church at Corinth. And they're saying that Paul is foolish and what he preaches is daft. And Paul says, oh, that you would bear with me in my foolishness. And indeed you do bear with me. Oh, you've been putting up with me now all this time. Will you put up with me a little longer? At least until I get to the end of my letter. And then the irony stops in verse 2. And he becomes deadly serious. What does he say? For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Here is a church which, like a wayward child, has caused him much grief, and yet he loves them. And when he sees them being led astray, jealousy is provoked. You who are Christ's people are being led astray, going after charlatans and crooks and ne'er-do-wells. and I am jealous for you. He says, I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And there is a picture in the New Testament of the church being the bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and he's coming for his bride. In the meantime, we are to be ready and prepare ourselves for that great wedding feast to which we are invited and we are going, but we are not to soil ourselves or spoil ourselves in the meantime. We are certainly not, to continue the metaphor, go after other men or other gospels. Imagine somebody who is to marry, but before the wedding date comes, she has a fling with another man. How dreadful would that be? Paul is saying, you Corinthians are in danger of that. You've been betrothed to Christ, then why, pray tell, are you going elsewhere? The picture then moves off from a wedding or marriage to the book of Genesis, the foundation of everything. This time, Paul is suggesting there is a repetition of the fall taking place, and he refers to the serpent deceiving Eve by being crafty in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were foolish for heeding the serpent, but the serpent was using his craftiness to entice their rebellion. And Paul is suggesting that the danger at Corinth is that there is a rerun of the fall about to take place. There is a serpent slithered into the Eden of Corinth, and he's whispering into Eve's ear, the ear of the church, rebellion, new theology, new light. We know that in Christ our minds are being renewed. But here he talks about the minds of the Corinthians being corrupted. What from? The simplicity that is in Christ. I know people can write very heavy tomes of theology and go off and study this and study that, but the gospel really is incredibly simple. There are many Naamans in our country who reject the gospel because of its pure simplicity. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Oh, I'm glad of that simplicity. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You don't need a degree or a diploma. You don't need a certificate in a frame above your desk. You simply need to believe the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that we are fallen and corrupted. But Christ, who was unfallen and uncorrupted, came to earth, lived the life we couldn't live, and died the death we ought to have died, that by believing in him, all our sin can be forgiven. And that when our time comes, we go to be with him forever. But something's going wrong at Corinth. The false teachers are coming in and they're saying, It's really not that straightforward. And that is what false religion will always do. Complicate. Corrupt. Although it's not clear in this particular section, or at least this section so far, false religion will always attack the person, the dignity, and the offices of Jesus Christ. It was an appropriate reading we had before. John, in his epistles, is writing to churches where the teachers there are saying or denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They're either saying he wasn't really a human being. Oh, he looked like one, he sounded like one. He didn't feel like one. He was a spirit, a mirage. Or they're saying he is flesh, but just another human being. The Colossian church is also being polluted, corrupted, complicated by false teaching. They too are attacking the dignity of Jesus Christ. Almost certainly, they're saying he is an angel. And part of the reasons the Colossian letter was written was to correct them of that. So the gospel is simple, but Paul goes on to warn in verse 4, for if he, and I think that he was known to them, there is a particular person here. We are not given his name, in part because that he is with us in every generation. There is always somebody who denies Jesus Christ in the church. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, and he reverts to his sarcasm in the last clause, you may well put up with it. But that phrase, when I was studying in verse 4, really gripped me. He who comes and preaches another Jesus. How many Jesuses are there? Well, there's one. And the alternatives which are offered or promoted are not real. They're figments of imagination. The Gnostics of Colossae almost certainly are teaching that Jesus is just one emanation of the divine. A great angel, a great and powerful figure. But says Paul, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Almost certainly, Paul is referring there to angels. All these angels which are out there, he created. They were created by him. They were created through him. They were created for him. Same with people. You were created by him. You were created for him. Why are people unfulfilled? Because they were created for Jesus Christ, but him they will not have. That's why they fill their lives with money or pleasure because the one for whom they were created they spurn. But false religion comes up with alternative versions of him. This morning I preached from John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. And I've heard it said, not preached in any church I would attend, but I've heard it said that actually, you know, Jesus is really a free-thinking liberal. And there's the kind of conservative establishment saying, no, adultery is wrong. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, it doesn't really matter, as long as you really love him. That's another Jesus. That's not the Jesus who said to her, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. That's another Jesus. Or the Jesus that people have and preach that affirms everyone and every lifestyle. In fact, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He calls upon his followers to deny themselves. Not to keep on doing what you enjoy. Not to live for pleasure or live for self. But actually to deny yourself. To decrease yourself that he might increase. That's what he taught. Much of his preaching is recorded in the Gospels, and he calls some of his hearers broods of vipers. Even today, there are those who say he's just an angel. There are those who say he was just a prophet. One of a long line of many. That's another Jesus. In diverse times in the past, God spoke to us through prophets and patriarchs, but now he speaks to us through his Son. Or you might go to some fabulously decorated, well-populated churches, and the Jesus preached there. Oh, he's a real great guy. He gives you whatever you want. Oh, sure, you've got to stuff the collection boxes with money every week, but apart from that, he gives you whatever you want. Just believe it, and you've got it. That's another Jesus. When he said, ask in my name and you will receive it, he wasn't just saying, ask for whatever you want and at the end tack on in the name of Jesus, and that's like a guarantee. When you ask in his name, you ask according to his will, according to his character, according to his glory. You are effectively saying, thy will be done. Don't get me wrong. It is a good thing to conclude prayers in the name of Jesus. I do it myself. And it is good to believe that he hears us and will answer. But we have to be honest. I have prayed many times for things and the Lord has not given what I want, given what I asked for. Because when you pray in his name, you're saying, Lord, this is what I really would like. But thy will be done anyway. These people are preaching another Jesus. There is a Jesus preached who is so fierce that you can only approach him through his mother. That's another Jesus. Let me tell you. You'll never find anyone more gentle or kind, compassionate, and loving as Christ himself. One day he will return as sovereign judge, and those who rejected him would rather be crushed by mountains than stand before him. But now, this is what he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I am gentle and my yoke is easy. There is no mediator between us and Christ. He is the mediator between us and the Father. Evidently, Paul is so concerned about the Corinthian church that people are coming and they're preaching a Jesus which they have made up. I have no doubt the Jesus they preached was more philosophically respectable. Elsewhere, Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Foolishness to the Greek, a stumbling block to the Jew, but it's he whom we preach. He then goes on to talk about if you've received a different spirit. It's not always clear in the Bible if it's talking about an actual spiritual being or rather an idea or a concept. But I put it to you, there are those who claim to speak on God's behalf, but it's not the Holy Spirit who suggests what they say. It's their own spirit, or worse. But what about a different gospel? Gospel, of course, means good news. It is the way, the method, the plan that God wrought in order that we might be reconciled to him. Fancy that. That before you were even born, God found a way to reconcile you to him. Wow. That is good news. Sometimes in churches we say things like, you know, doesn't matter what bad things you've done, he will forgive you. But when somebody tells us the bad things we've done, we kind of go pale and think, will it cover that? It will cover that. There might be things in your past of which you are deeply, deeply troubled and ashamed. But the grace of God found in the gospel can save even you. But what about the different gospels Paul refers to? What of them? Well, a fake gospel is no gospel. Some of you know how boring I am. I collect coins. Slightly less boring than collecting stamps, which is itself slightly less boring than looking at trains, but there you go. But I once bought a coin, and it arrived, and it was quite clearly fake. It was the right shape. It was even the right colour. It had upon it the late Queen's head, and on the other side, the correct impression. But it was gold plated. You could tell straight away by picking it up, that's not gold. I don't have it now, by the way, so don't bother burgling if you... Yeah. But imagine a gold coin as opposed to a gold-plated coin.
They both look like gold. In fact, when you imagine or you see both of them, you're looking and touching at gold, but you scratch beneath the surface and one is base and the other is not. And a false gospel is gold-plated dross. And if anyone tells you, yes, God loves you, yes, Jesus died, but you need to top up what he did by doing this or doing that or doing the other, it's another gospel. If someone tells you that you must belong to a certain church and you must give so much money to it every month and only then will God accept, it's another gospel. And if someone says, yes, God is merciful and you've got to do your best to be good and hope for the best, it's another gospel. Paul says, you may well put up with it. In other words, the Corinthians really, I think, are 21st century people. I think they'd fit in really, really well in our country. They are so tolerant. That kind of concluding clause there is, you tolerate these people, you tolerate the gospels that they preach, the spirits that they deliver, the other Jesuses that they imagine and make up, you tolerate all of that. Perhaps the time has come to stop tolerating it. Why? Because you are betrothed to one husband. Why? Because when Eve heeded the serpent, it kind of didn't end very well. Why? Because the simplicity of Christ is always more beautiful than any man-made complication. I pray that we at Salem Chapel will never have preached another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel. The age-old gospel, the one preached by Wesley and Whitfield, Calvin and Luther, Wycliffe, John, Peter, Paul. The times were different, the fashions were different. The gospel was the same. And I pray that if the Lord tarries and in 200 years' time, we aren't going to be here. But if the Lord tarries, God willing, there will be people still in this church. And they'll be planning for the 400th anniversary. And they'll read the records of us and wonder who we were and all the rest of it. But I pray that in this pulpit, which I'm not currently standing in, but you know my point, in this pulpit will be faithful. People enjoy innovation. Adam and Eve enjoyed innovation. And it ended badly. We're not called to be innovative in our theology, but faithful. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together 379, and then we'll have another reading. 379.
Jesus shall Our next reading is 1 Peter chapter 1 and the first 12 verses. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles with the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's have a time of open prayer.
Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've made yourself real to us by revealing in a written way truths which are everlasting, that do not change with time. Father, we thank you for their simplicity and their clarity. Lord, there are things in it which we find difficult to understand, but there are so many things so abundantly plain and rejoice our hearts. We thank you for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bless you for him again. The simplicity that is in Christ. We thank you for that. And Lord, we've taken the strong warning that we've really had from the scriptures over the past few weeks, that we are to be on our guard, that we're not blown off course by new strange winds of doctrine that would take us one way or another. May the Lord Jesus Christ always be the one who's preeminent in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our proclamation. We pray that we be Christ-centered people. Father, we do pray for this church and for all of us in it, that you'd keep us true to the gospel. Lord, there are many temptations, many issues that come and can very easily veer us away. Oh, Lord, please keep us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us close to his word. Make us people constantly dependent upon yourself. And indeed, Lord, we don't know when you will return, but until that moment, may this church, Martin Top, be faithful and true and zealous in making to the locality and beyond these precious, everlasting truths. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we've got an inheritance, Lord, incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. Oh, we just thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word, Lord, that goes out in this church week by week, Lord. Oh, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. And Lord, to help us to be shining lights for you, Lord, as we go out here, doing our daily tasks, work, whatever it is, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to be shining lights for you, Lord. And that your word, Lord, will go out, Lord, and will draw people, men, women, children, Lord, to yourself, Lord. Oh, Father, help us, Lord. We just praise you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for the young generation, the kids and the youth. They're so easily misguided in the modern day and age by all the attractions of the world. So easily persuaded to a false gospel and to a false Jesus that goes along with the world. And Lord, I just pray for gospel-based, Christ-based churches to rise up again, particularly in the West, Lord, that they can repoint them to you, that they can believe in the Christ that died for them and for their sins, and that they can see the error in the way that they're living. Lord, I just pray that you can fill them up with the Spirit, that they too can stand for what they believe and what they know to be true amongst the non-believers. Lord, I just pray that as they grow up, they can grow up to just be shining examples of what a Christian could be, what a Christ-centered life should be like in a world that is so against you. In the name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we pray for this church and many ones like it. And we pray that they will resist the temptation to dilute the gospel, to go along with the modern thinking, Lord, to go along, to make it easier. Oh, we pray that we will stick close to the Bible. Mm-hmm. We will stick close to it. And that we won't try and mug it. Even us as extensions of the church wouldn't present the gospel in a way that is more palatable, perhaps. So we think, but it is not, because it is only the true gospel that has the power to save. It is only through obedience that we will be blessed, and the church will be blessed, Lord. We just pray for a blessing, Lord. We pray for obedience from our churches and from us as extensions of the church, Lord. To the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your wonderful grace and mercy to us, O Lord. There was a day, Lord, when we did not know you, and we were full of darkness, full of blasphemy, full of filthiness. We thank you, Lord, that you came to us by your Spirit, and you revealed yourself to us, and you revealed to us our need of a Saviour, and you granted us faith to believe and to repent. And we thank you, Lord God, for that day, that you came into our lives, and you made us your children, and you've saved us from our sins. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you. You sent your Son, Jesus, that we might know you. And Lord, as we thank you for this, we think of the many people around this place, Lord. We think of that town, Clitheroe, not too far away. The village of Rimington, Lord. Full of people who are blinded by the devil. Dead in their sins and trespasses. And we would long for them, Lord God, to know the wonder and the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus, this Jesus of your word, the one who was promised. And we just ask, oh Lord God, would you have mercy in these days, and would you come by your power, by the power, through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And would you come and do a mighty work in these days, Lord. Lord, would you come? Would you visit us with your salvation? Would you save sinners in these days, oh Lord, in these dark days? Would you pour out the light of the gospel, Lord, in power for your people, Lord? Lord, we just come to you and we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, Lord, and ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and you would help us, O Lord, to love you with all our hearts and souls and mind and strength, who would love you, love you, love you, and long for you to come in these days. Lord, draw near to us, we ask. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. For your honour and your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. 378. 378. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Bill, can we sing that? If you turn to the back of your hymn book, let's just have a sing the Jude benediction. Mm-hmm. Amen. Good